This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong and I'm joined in the studio by
Frida Liu.
And today we're talking about what makes the Asian region an attractive place for EU businesses. If you want to get in touch with us about this topic, we are on Twitter at BFM Radio and on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Now, the EU ASEAN Business Council, otherwise known as EUABC, has recently published its 8th Business Sentiment Survey, which is an annual publication that investigates the outlook of European businesses within the ASEAN region. The report aims to forecast regional trends around key issues such as economic and political conditions, and it also serves as a barometer for the European business outlook within the Southeast Asian region. The findings of this research is expected to guide industry leaders and government officials as they navigate the corporate landscape and boost business collaborations within the region.
Martin Hayes, who's the chairman of the EUABC, said this year's survey demonstrates the sentiments of European businesses towards ASEAN remain strong, perhaps stronger than ever before. Optimism about economic recovery in the region is also strong despite ongoing concerns around geopolitical tensions and supply chain bottlenecks. So for context, the EU ASEAN Business Council is a business body tasked with helping a diverse range of European businesses to promote trade and investment within the ASEAN region. The council works on a sectoral and cross-industry basis to improve investment and trading conditions for European businesses in the ASEAN region, and this is done through engagement policy and decision makers throughout the region and in the EU. They also act as a platform for the exchange of information, ideas amongst members and regional players within the ASEAN region.
So there were some interesting highlights in the survey as well. Nearly 70% of respondents expect the ASEAN markets to become more important in terms of worldwide revenue over the next 2 years. This could indicate an interest by corporate entities looking to break into the ASEAN markets and also for opportunities to boost collaborations with European players. Only 6% of respondents, though, feel that the ASEAN economic integration is progressing fast enough. This sheds some light on the current economic climate, whereby businesses may need to prepare for possible trade barriers if they're looking to expand within the region. And only 9% of respondents trust that ASEAN can deliver on circular economy concepts.
Again, so for context, a circular economy is a model of production and consumption which involves sharing, leasing, reusing, repairing, refurbishing and recycling existing materials and products for as long as possible. In practice, it should reduce waste to a minimum. Less than half respondents are of the opinion that ASEAN is serious about attaining its sustainability goals, whilst roughly half believe that the goals set by ASEAN member states are not ambitious enough. And this perception amongst respondents highlights the region's progress as the world works towards sustainability for long-term financial growth.
And this year's survey also saw the perception of ASEAN as the region with the best economic opportunity improve, with the gap next to the next best location, China, widening significantly. The survey also notes enthusiasm to grow operations in ASEAN by European businesses remains strong. However, the lack of progress on the ASEAN regional economic integration also affected perception, with only 1 out of 10 respondents believing the ASEAN economic community objectives have been met. So it also highlighted this need for the ASEAN region to take a more focused approach to tackling environmental and sustainability issues, including the greening of current supply chains. So while European businesses continue to view the ASEAN region as having positive business prospects over the next 5 years, doubts continue to linger on regional integration, non-tariff barriers and trade. And since 2017, Europe has been experiencing moderate growth rates. The onset of the pandemic has further stagnated growth within the European region, which has prompted European businesses to expand internationally, especially in high-growth regions like the ASEAN region, which is emerging as a global economic powerhouse.
So these expansions are also an effort to diversify their production footprint in order to build greater operational resilience. Sectors with strong growth opportunities for businesses include infrastructure, manufacturing, renewable energy, and e-government, I guess. These business expansions also fuel growth. E-commerce.
Yes.
These business expansions also fuel growth for supporting businesses within the Asian region for the various industries they participate in. A brief overview of the trade relationship between EU and ASEAN. The EU is a market of roughly 500 people, while the ASEAN market stands at roughly 660 million. How oh so appealing. ASEAN is considered the fifth largest economic bloc in the world, with more than $3 trillion US dollars in GDP and 660 million potential customers. In 2020, the EU was considered ASEAN's third largest trading partner, with total bilateral trade accounting for roughly 227 billion or 8.5% of ASEAN's total merchandise trade. FDIs from the EU to ASEAN stood at $10 billion in 2020, which places the EU as the third largest external source of FDI among ASEAN partners.
So essentially what I gather from this is that, you know, the ASEAN region is a high growth region, but we also need to work more towards, you know, environmentalist efforts and sustainability. And that will help propel us, I think, as a region worth investing in, it sounds like.
And I think, you know, that's the challenge, right? We say ASEAN, but how closely are we actually working together? You know, are we, you know, like if you look at Europe, they're sort of connected, right? And they've got trains, they've got whatever.
An average of separation,
right?
Yeah.
So we are also in that sense, and we're kind of separated, but yet we see the potential of 660 million, right? After China. But getting it together, and we're all the different levels of maturity and development, right?
So there needs to be more of a conversation and maybe more of a working together as well, right? To ensure that the entire ASEAN region can benefit from this potential.
Right. And therein lies the opportunity for Europe, right? I mean, when you talk about them being ahead in terms of sustainability and all that, these are business opportunities to put them here.
Yep, absolutely. Right. So we're also curious to ask, you know, for our listeners, if you are a business with dealings within the EU, what are you doing? What kind of industry are you in? And also, you know, the idea of if we should be concentrating our efforts towards developing, you know, our business dealings with the EU, or should we be more focused towards developing a more knowledge-based economy? I mean, look, we're also not the only people who will be discussing this topic today. After the break, we'll be joined by Chris Humphrey, Executive Director of the EU ASEAN Business Council, to discuss the findings of this survey and also what makes the ASEAN region attractive to EU businesses. But for now, here is Fame by David Bowie here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium, BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Christine Wong, and
Frida Liu.
And today we're talking about what makes the ASEAN region attractive to EU businesses. If you'd like to take part in this conversation, we are on Twitter at BFM Radio. We're also on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Now, of course, we do have an expert on the line with us. Chris Humphrey, Executive Director of the EU ASEAN Business Council, is here to discuss the findings of their survey. And also, again, what makes the ASEAN region attractive to EU businesses. Thanks so much for joining us on the line, Chris. Now, the EU ABC recently published its 8th Business Sentiment Survey, an annual publication reporting on European businesses operating within ASEAN's corporate environment. What can you tell us about the findings in the survey?
Yeah, the survey this year shows a continuing trend that European industry is actually very positively inclined towards Southeast Asia as a whole. The survey again picks up that we see as the region of best economic opportunity going forward for the next 5 years. And indeed, the gap between ASEAN and the next one in that list has widened considerably. And also that we think we're going to improve, grow our businesses there across the whole of the region. So looking at the region, Indonesia and Malaysia come out particularly strongly in terms of growth prospects. But there are some buts. There are always buts in these surveys. And the buts really are around lack of progress on ASEAN regional economic integration, the need for more trade deals between Europe and Southeast Asia, and then some concerns around how the region is tackling sustainability issues.
Right. You know, Chris, could you give us a historical background on the business relationship between the EU and ASEAN region? What makes us attractive as a region?
Well, I think the attraction for ASEAN, for European businesses, is quite clear. The underlying fundamentals of the region are extremely strong. So the region has had traditionally very high levels of GDP growth in the last few years. It's come out of COVID-19 strong as well. We've got the world's third largest workforce. We have growing urbanization rates, growing middle class, and a young, very tech-savvy population, generally speaking, as well across the region. So all of those things make ASEAN a dynamic and very attractive place for industry to come and invest, whether they're European or from elsewhere in the world. If you add on to that things like geopolitical problems, China, Ukraine, companies looking to diversify their supply chains. Again, ASEAN then represents a great place to come. Geographically well-placed To support that growth that's needed and diversification of supply chains that is needed.
Right. Now, nearly 70% of respondents are confident that the ASEAN market is projected to rise in prominence in worldwide revenue generation over the next 2 years. What is the catalyst behind this growth?
This is a region of growth. And even though parts of the world might be facing some downturn and some slowing of growth or maybe even recession in parts of Europe, what I see here in the region, and having spoken to governments in the region recently as well, they're pretty confident that growth will continue. There may be some slight dip. I mean, we're currently at 5-6% in most of the countries in Southeast Asia. It may go to 3-4% growth next year. I can tell you, European leaders would bite your hand off for growth of 3-4%. So I think that is one of the reasons why European businesses are so confident about the region and all the other fundamentals that underpin all of that I just mentioned. They make the region an area where you can come and you can trade and you can invest with some confidence.
Right. You know, this year's report includes topics touching on sustainability. What are some of the matters discussed along this theme?
Yes, well, sustainability, of course, is a rising concern for all of us. You just look at the storms that are happening in the Caribbean and in the South China Sea at the moment. We see increased flooding and we see droughts as well. So I think looking after the environment becomes even more and more important for all of us. But for us at the Council, sustainability is not just the environment. It's all of the UN SDGs. It's putting food on the table, access to decent jobs, education, healthcare, etc. So we have to make sure that we are growing and developing economically, as well as looking after the environment at the same time. So this year we asked questions on sustainability issues. How do you feel ASEAN is doing in terms of its goal setting around climate change? And how serious is it as a region looking at that? Unfortunately, the response is a very much a mixed view. Generally speaking, from most of the countries in the region, European business felt that the goals weren't ambitious enough, and they felt that the countries weren't doing enough to achieve those goals as well. And when it comes to things like circular economy, ASEAN is being very slow. Although, to be fair to them, they are working on a framework and they are working on an implementation plan. I reckon if I did the survey again next year, I'll ask the same questions, it'd be a lot more positive.
Right. Now, the ASEAN Economic Integration was an initiative to bring about economic integration as a development strategy amongst the member countries. What can you tell us about its effectiveness from the EU context? Has it achieved what it set out to do?
Good question. The AEC, ASEAN Economic Community, is a highly ambitious project. They are trying to create a single market and production base, but without having the strong center like we have in Europe. Now, you got to remember, it took the EU decades to get to where it is today of having a truly single market. So for ASEAN to do it without that strong center would be a remarkable achievement. That said, so far the progress has been very, very good when it comes to tariff reduction within ASEAN, but that's about it. There's a whole bunch of other stuff, much more difficult things that need to be tackled. Removing non-tariff barriers to trade, harmonizing on standards so that if you make a product in Malaysia, you can export it to Indonesia and you don't have to worry about going through a new testing regime in Indonesia. So there's a whole raft of stuff that needs to be done. And unfortunately, progress on those more difficult things is slow and it is hindering the development of intra-ASEAN trade, which means if you're an investor, a European investor, coming to ASEAN, building a factory in one country and looking to export to the rest of the region, you start to encounter problems that really shouldn't be there. And for the growth and development of Southeast Asia, the region needs to move faster on some of these issues.
Right. Now, it's worth pointing out that only 6% of survey respondents feel the ASEAN economic integration is progressing fast enough. So what are the factors behind this lack of confidence levels and are there concentrated efforts to address them?
Well, we at the Council are constantly pushing ASEAN to make faster moves on economic integration. We see the benefits that flow from it. We have the European experience to back that up as well. I must say that 6% figure is higher than it was last year. I think last year it was only 2%. So some progress there of sorts. But you know, we work in baby steps in the region on these things. But it just shows, I think, you know, if only the region could make greater progress and head towards that goal of being a single market and production base, which they set out for themselves in 2015, business confidence would be much better and the region would become an even more attractive place for foreign direct investment to flow to.
What are some of the steps that need to be taken to address these gaps and raise the confidence levels in our progress?
Elimination of non-tariff barriers. It's always top of the list for us, together with harmonizing standards. ASEAN has a whole range of tools now at its disposal. It's taken a few years to develop them, but they come up with plans and guidelines about how to tackle the issue of non-tariff barriers to trade. So these are rules and regulations behind the border. There might be restrictions on prices or restrictions on or quotas of things you can bring in, or just simply technical standards, which are very difficult to comply with. And they need to start addressing these, make their markets a bit more open, improve market access for investment coming in. That will give investors and businesses the confidence to trade more and invest more in them.
Right. And moving forward, Chris, what would you like to see being done to enhance cooperation and business ties between the EU and ASEAN region?
At a government-to-government level, we would definitely like to see a lot more trade deals being done. We've always pressed for the idea of a region-to-region deal between the EU and all of ASEAN. That's going to be incredibly difficult to do, and I don't think it's going to happen in the near future. So what we'd like to see in the meantime is a ramping up of negotiations on bilateral FTAs. The EU's already got Singapore and Vietnam in place. They're negotiating on Indonesia. That's got to be ramped up and sped up because of the elections coming there in 2024. But we hope, more importantly, they can actually recommence negotiations with Malaysia, Thailand, and the Philippines. That would be a real boost for European investment, be a real boost for ASEAN access to EU markets as well. And it would help both sides develop and move closer together.
Very interesting. Well, that was Chris Humphrey, Executive Director of the EU-ASEAN Business Council, talking about the findings of the survey. I mean, Frieda, what do you make of this?
Well, I mentioned earlier on, again, there's 660 million. There's a lot of that needs to be done. We are moving at different levels of maturity. You know, like even with the EU, you've got Western Europe and then, of course, Eastern Europe. Mm. They had some challenges even trying to get Spain and, you know, Greece and all these countries to be on the same level. Right. So I know. So there are a lot of challenges here, but then there's also opportunity, I find, with what's going to happen with sustainability. And I think working hand in hand with the know-how of what the Europeans have regarding this whole topic of circular economy, you know, exciting times ahead.
Yeah, definitely. I think there needs to be, I mean, obviously there is that sort of a regional competitiveness that we do encounter as well, as we sort of battle it out to see sort of which place is going to be the powerhouse of the ASEAN region. But at the same time, you know, there's so much untapped potential that it's important to also keep that in mind and look at the bigger picture of things as well, for sure. But that definitely brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you again to Chris Humphrey, Executive Director of the EU-ASEAN Business Council, for speaking with us today. And, you know, we'll be back here same time, same place tomorrow with another topic. On behalf of myself and Frieda Liu, do not go anywhere though, because after the 1 p.m. news bulletin is, of course, the breakfast grill replay. German Unity Day, which falls on the 3rd of October, is celebrated in Germany to commemorate its reunification in 1990 when West and East Germany were unified. More than three decades later, the country has grown to become a superpower in Europe and a symbol of progress in the world. But with a war raging on nearby in Ukraine and right-wing governments rising in the region, how will this impact Germany's future? We hear from HE Dr. Peter Blomeyer, German ambassador to Malaysia. So he was on the Breakfast Grill to discuss these issues as well as the developments between Malaysia and German bilateral relations. This has been Enterprise Biz Bytes. Coming up next is Money by the Drums and Jump by Van Halen here on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.